He is risen in Los Angeles.
He is risen in Burbank.
He is risen in Central Asia.
He is risen in Kenya.
Dhaka, Nigeria. Yes, Yatashi. He is risen. Hallelujah.
In Tanzania, he is risen. He is risen indeed.
Well, hey everybody, welcome to our Easter celebration. What a blessing to be with you when we can celebrate the risen Christ, the one who lives within our hearts today. What a blessing. We are going to celebrate with joy from the depths of our souls, all right? Echo after me. Here we go. Oh, hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life.
I will praise you all my days.
I will praise you all my days.
Perfect in all your ways.
Perfect in all your ways.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
I will obey your word.
I will obey your word.
I want to see your kingdom come.
I want to see your kingdom come.
Not my will, but yours be done. To the land,
glory, glory to the land.
You will take us into the land.
You will take us into the land.
We will conquer in your name.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. That Sunday morn, when heaven and earth did say, He's risen, He's risen, He rose to set us free. No greater victory this world will ever say. We give thanks for Resurrection Day. That blessed morn, when heaven and earth did say, the tomb. This world will ever see, yeah. This day changed everything, this day changed everything. The world was lost in sin, but now can live again. This day changed everything, this day changed everything. All hell has finally lost, so let the praise begin. Let the praise begin, yeah. Sing like this with me. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for Resurrection Day. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for Resurrection Day. Come on, get out of your chair and just sing it with us now. Say,
thank you, Jesus, for Resurrection Day.
Oh, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for Resurrection Day.
Come on, let's keep praising Him. Oh, thank you,
Yes.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. Here we go.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today.
I know that he is with me, whatever men may say.
I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along.
Cynthia is going to lead us. Here we go.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christians. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind.
All right, sing it with me. You ready?
He lives, he lives. Salvation to him high. You ask me how I know he lives.
He lives within my heart. Well, He lives within my heart. Right here, He lives within my heart, within my heart. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Amen. Wow, what a blessing. Well, the next song is actually was done previous with our virtual choir, and it just really speaks to the fact that at the very foundation of our Christian faith is the fact that the resurrection is true. It's the very cornerstone of everything we believe, and so we're going to declare it with lots of people from our community, and we pray that you'll join in and be blessed.
Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb.
There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it.
His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow.
The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples."
So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples.
'Cause the tomb is empty. We have hope. Because the tomb is empty, we can pray. 'Cause the tomb is empty, we can shout hallelujah.
Because the tomb is empty, we're not alone. Because the tomb is empty, there's a living God that we can know. Because the tomb is empty, we have an eternal home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because the tomb is empty, death has lost its sting. Because the tomb is empty, we no longer have to fear. Oh, because the tomb is empty, the God of heaven, He is here.
Hallelujah. This is all that really matters.
Cause the tomb is empty. With courage we can stand. Cause the tomb is empty. We know your kingdom cannot fail. Cause the tomb is empty. Your church, we know it will prevail.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Let's sing. Death could not hold you.
Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. You silenced the bolts of sin and heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
One more time.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Christ has risen, and say it, Christian Assembly, like you believe it. He is risen indeed. We join with untold millions all over the globe, every kind, young and old, rich and poor, male and female, every color, every kind, as we declare this weekend our faith in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Happy Easter, everybody, and welcome to this online service. It's hard to imagine, hard to believe that it's been just over a year since we have been facing together this pandemic of a global nature. And while it has been one of the most trying years of our lives, individually, as families and collectively as a church. And yet, surprisingly, it has been one of our most thriving years. And that is because of so many of you who gave yourselves to find creative ways to invest in kids, to reach students, young adults, men and women, marriages, life group leaders. What would we have done without you? And so we just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for every effort that you've given. The stories abound because of your great faithfulness to give your lives away. A couple of things to note. Please join us next weekend as we're going to launch a brand new series entitled No Matter What. We're going to do we're going to teach through the book of 1 Peter. So it'll be a great time. No matter where you are, come and join us as we grow together in God's Word. And then of special note, please put this on your calendar and pass the word around. Our in-person outdoor service is changing days and time. Beginning April 11th, that'll be next week, we're going to go to Sunday mornings at 10:30. We'll be at the same location, Village Christian School. The online service will remain the same, but please note that 10:30 on Sundays beginning April 11th. We're going to give again this week as we have online through the CA app or through our website. Instructions are there. And thanks again for your big, gracious, and generous hearts. And thank you to our musicians and singers who have helped us to bless the Lord, O my soul, this year. And as just a special Easter treat, we're going to hear from Ingrid, from Mike, and from Chris. Enjoy and let this bring a delight to your heart.
Hey, welcome everyone, and happy Easter, happy Resurrection Day. So excited that you have chosen to be here with us, whether you're a visitor or a guest, whether you're spiritually convinced or unconvinced, we're honored that you're here with us. And of course, a big welcome to my CA family as well. I've been praying for you and that God would speak to you this Easter. You know, one of the unique aspects of Christianity is that it traces its origin to just one particular event on one particular day. That's not true for Buddhism or Judaism. It's not true for Islam or Hinduism or even atheism. The picture we get in the Bible is that all of Jesus' followers were disheartened and dismayed and disappointed. In fact, none of Jesus' followers expected Jesus to resurrect on that very first Easter. None of them were sitting around the tomb just saying, wait for it, wait for it. He's going to rise in 3, 2, 1. No, instead, they were devastated by the events of the crucifixion of Jesus. But then suddenly, they weren't. This Easter, we're going to look at two of Jesus' followers on the road to a town called Emmaus who discover that their faith wasn't what they thought, but it was actually much better than they had hoped. And along the way, we're going to consider what the resurrection has to do with a jar of marbles and a bag of starbursts. And we're going to consider all that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, now as we come to your word, this Easter, would you speak to us about the joy and the gladness and the rejoicing we can have because of the truth and reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Meet us where we are. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Luke chapter 24, Jesus is resurrected. We pick up the story in verse 13. This is what it says. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles outside of the town of Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. Now, don't you love how coy Jesus is being here? Or maybe he just wanted to let them unburden their hearts. He goes on and says, "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said, "he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb earlier this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said that his body was missing and that they had seen angels who told them that Jesus is alive. And some of our men ran out to see it, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Now, this passage is going to give us three life-giving truths this Easter, and this brings us to our very first one, which is this. The resurrection of Jesus is not just good news, it's true news. You see, for the resurrection to matter, it must be both, not just one or the other. Because if it's good news but not true, then it doesn't hold the power to change anything. But if it's true news but not good, then it doesn't provide any hope. These two disciples have heard the good news of the resurrection, but notice they don't yet believe it's true news. That's why they're headed out of town. That's why they have sadness that is written across their faces. But the resurrection is true. Truth can take two forms, which are often confused, so we need to clarify this when we talk about truth. One form of truth is subjective truth. For example, consider this bag of Starbursts. If I asked you, which flavor of Starburst is the best flavor, you would have an opinion about what is true. That's subjective truth because it's based on your opinion. And that really doesn't have any bearing on what I deem to be the best flavor, because we all know that orange is the best Starburst flavor, right? The other form of truth is what's called objective truth. For example, it's more like how many marbles are in this jar. Now, with objective truth, facts determine the truth, not your preference, not your opinion. So either you get the facts right or you get them wrong. I know how many marbles are in this jar because I've investigated it by counting them. And if you're curious, the number of marbles in this jar is 75 marbles in the jar. It's something you could investigate. So when I say that the resurrection is true, it's in the category of objective truth. It's like the number of marbles in the jar. Either the resurrection happened or it didn't happen. If it happened, then it doesn't really matter whether or not I would prefer for it to happen or not. But if it did, then it's not just my truth, it's the truth, much like the number of jars, number of marbles in the jar. The facts determine the reality. I was reading this week about a man named J. Warner Wallace, who is a real-life CSI investigator right here in Los Angeles. In fact, he was one of the founding members of the Torrance Police Department Cold Case Homicide Unit. And he's quite good at this. In fact, in 2015, he won the award for the best solved cold case. And his work is so famous that it's been featured on major news channels like NBC and others. But Wallace was not a believer in the resurrection until, at the age of 35, he decided to investigate the claims of the resurrection of Jesus as he would any other cold case, only this one being a couple thousand years old. What he discovered was so convincing that he made a decision to become a Christian, to become a follower of Jesus. In other words, he saw that the resurrection of Jesus has all the evidence needed to come to a reasoned belief that it's not only good news, but it's true news. Maybe you are spiritually unconvinced, much like these two who were on their road to Emmaus. They heard about the good news, but they weren't certain it's true. And if that's you, I want to call you to an action step this Easter. Your action step is to email us at the email address decision@cachurch.com. And all you have to say is, I just want to investigate Jesus. And if you send that email and you provide your mailing address, we will send you a free copy of Wallace's book that outlines the CSI evidence that he found that led him to become a follower of Jesus. The facts are that Jesus died on the cross. In fact, Roman soldiers confirmed it. They shoved a spear in his side. And I would think that Roman soldiers actually dealt with dead bodies more than most of us do today, so they knew what a dead body was like. The facts are that 3 days later, the tomb was empty. If it wasn't, the Romans could have just have produced the body. The facts are that Jesus then went on and he appeared to his followers. There are at least 15 historical references to Jesus meeting people, touching people, and talking with people after he had been crucified. In fact, one of those times, he talked to about 500 people after he had risen from the dead. A lot of people saw him. It wasn't just these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So if it's true news, why is the resurrection also good news? It's good news because it means Jesus is who he claimed to be. In fact, in John 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. That's both true news and good news, because it both has the power to change our lives right now, as well as our life after death, too. The second life-giving truth we see is that the resurrection of Jesus means that his plan is better than we had hoped. And you notice here, on the road to Emmaus, three different times, these two disciples, They speak of Jesus in the past tense when referring to him. They say, well, he was a prophet. He was a mighty teacher. And here's the key one. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. They had thought that their best days were now behind them. They really thought that Jesus had some potential. I mean, some of those miracles that they saw him do, they were amazing. And his baklava, man, it was delicious. It was also encouraging and so hopeful. Too bad he died. And Jesus is effectively saying to them, I know you are saying that I was, but newsflash, I still am. Here's the question of Easter from Jesus. Whoever told you to use the past tense? Sometimes followers of Jesus, we can let the circumstances that we face cause our faith to slide into being kind of a past tense faith. And notice how Jesus responds to that. In Luke 24, verse 25, Jesus then said to these two, he said, you foolish people. Now, why are they foolish? See, they got all of the circumstantial facts right, but they came to the wrong conclusion, letting their faith drift into the past tense. We had hoped. You see, the circumstances you face in life are not nearly as important as the conclusions that you draw. Look, throughout all of the history of the story of God with his people, it always, always, always looks like evil has won permanently, right up until the moment it doesn't and God triumphs over evil. What the resurrection of Jesus teaches us is that if evil is winning, the story isn't over yet. Jesus goes on. He says, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all of the scriptures things concerning himself. Now look at what Jesus does here. He does a Bible study with them on the road. Why? Because a deep faith never comes from a shallow understanding of the scriptures. If you want to start or grow your faith in God, you have to pray and then study the Bible. They had thought that the Messiah had come only for Israel, only to defeat the Romans. And Jesus is saying, actually, I've come for whosoever would believe in me, people of every tribe, of every tongue, of every nation. And I have come not only to defeat the Romans, but I have come to defeat the greater enemies of sin and evil and death. My plan might not be what you thought, but it's actually better than what you had hoped. You know, we can look at the cross, and they looked at the cross, and they thought God was defeated. But actually, it was his greatest triumph and the key to his unfolding rescue plan. You see, they saw the right circumstances, but they drew the wrong conclusions. And we can do that too. And later, these two disciples would say, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? The third thing we see is this. The resurrection of Jesus is not the ending of the story. It's the new beginning. Sometimes in our culture and in our lives, we can slip into viewing Easter as an end, not a beginning. And I think some of this happens because we see it as a countdown, right? Like, how many days left until Easter? Maybe the countdown begins at Ash Wednesday, or maybe it begins on Palm Sunday, but we think Easter's coming, Easter's coming. We kind of have a mental countdown of like 10, 9, 8, and then it comes, and we think, great, and we say, hooray, and then we kind of wrap up the Easter decorations and put them in the closet until next year. But in the Bible, Easter was not just the end of something, it was the beginning of something much better. The encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus continues this way in verse 28 of Luke 24. It says, by this time they were nearing Emmaus, the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on further, but they begged him to stay. Stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he broke the bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour they were on the road back to Jerusalem, they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them who said, the Lord is really risen. He appeared to Peter. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them and when they were walking on the road to Emmaus and how they recognized him as he was breaking the bread. Now, do you see what happens here? They say to Jesus, stay with us. It's getting late. Now, remember, back then, there were no streetlights. There were no flashlights on their iPhones. People back then did not travel in the dark. It wasn't safe. It was the realm of thieves. It just wasn't safe to do. But once they are informed, maybe because when he broke the bread, did they see the holes in his hands? But once they were informed and given the hope of the reality and truth of the resurrection, they saw things differently, didn't they? In fact, they didn't just see things differently, they acted differently. They left that very hour and they traveled the 7 miles back to Jerusalem. In the dark? Yeah. The resurrection gives you the hope and power to face what you previously just wanted to escape. Now the darkness all around them is no match for the light of the truth of the resurrection inside of them. What just moments before seemed to be a limit now barely gets a mention. Where is God inviting you to see things differently in light of his resurrection? God chose for Jesus to rise from the dead on the beginning of a brand new week. Now, why would that happen? Because as the Bible says, Jesus is the second Adam, referring to Adam and Eve. Only now, the second Adam, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus, the resurrected one, will honor his Father, God the Father, and lead us into a new beginning as we follow him. And so now Easter is no longer a once-a-year event on the calendar. It's an identity. It's an everyday reality. For those of us in Christ, we are resurrection people, and hallelujah is our song. We don't just look back at history and say, boy, I'm glad that happened, but now onto my real life, how am I going to handle today? No, we look back and we say, because that has happened, I'm empowered and can handle today differently. We're meant to live in the power of the resurrection today, preaching in the power of the resurrection, parenting in the power of the resurrection, doing our work or our studies in the power of the resurrection, dealing with a pandemic in the power of the resurrection, being single or married in the power of the resurrection, loving our neighbors and even our enemies in the power of the resurrection. To the elderly person who's watching, whose health is frail, maybe even almost gone. If you place your hope in Jesus, you don't have to live in fear because you have a resurrection coming. To the devastated husband whose wife has left you and you feel betrayed and all alone, if you place your hope in Christ, you don't have to live dejected any longer because you have a resurrection coming. To the frightened parents of a depressed child, as you place your hope in Jesus, you don't have to live burdened by this weight of blame any longer because you have a resurrection coming. To the anxious worker who has lost your job, as you place your hope in Christ, you have a resurrection coming. To the guilt-ridden addict hiding in the shadows, as you turn to Christ, no longer does your past need to define you because you have a resurrection coming. To the lonely person longing to be loved, in Christ, you have a resurrection coming. To the student who feels insecure and you really just want your friend's approval, you don't have to live in that emotional prison of insecurity any longer because God loves you and you have a resurrection coming. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are facing, if you have taken or will in a moment take the all-important step of faith, you can live in the light of a new, unshakable, indestructible reality of the resurrection. Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection means that you can be forgiven of your sin, and I can too. You can be made right with God, and I can too. You can begin a new life, living every day in the light of the true hope, greater than any of this discouraging fear that life might bring your way. Now, why did all this happen? Well, there are many reasons why God has done this. One is to bring glory to himself. Another is to satisfy his justice. Another is to demonstrate his reigning sovereignty. But one of the sweetest reasons that God has done all of this is that God loves you. He likes having you around. If God had a phone, your picture would be his screensaver. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he's ready to listen. And whenever you're ready to listen, he's ready to speak to you through his love letter called the Bible. The final verse of this passage tells us this about the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. They're now back in Jerusalem telling the others about their encounter with Jesus. And this is what it says in verse 36. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. You see, the resurrection is not just good news, it's true news. And because that it's good news and true news, it now becomes news of great peace. It's not just to rescue Israel from the Romans. It's much better than we had hoped to rescue you and to me, even now, even here, from the power of sin and from death. To give us a new beginning, power to live life differently now before death, and life lived forever with Jesus and those who believe in him forever after death. Remember, as Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Now, let me apply this message to us. There's three different groups. In fact, even now, let's just create some space for God to work in these moments. God, would you be at work by the power of your word and spirit to apply this message? Some of you, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Or you have, but you walked away and you want to renew your faith in Christ. Don't let this moment pass you by. Make a decision to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Right now, I'm inviting you to place your faith in Jesus and the power of his resurrection and his life. Don't let this moment pass. Maybe God is working in your heart right now. And as we've talked about the reality and truth of the resurrection from the scriptures, and maybe your heart is beginning to burn like the hearts on those on the road to Emmaus. Or maybe for others, it's not a burning heart, but it's the reality of the objective truth of the empty tomb that is sinking in and proving that Jesus is really who he said that he is. There is only one name under heaven by which you can be saved, Jesus Christ. He alone died on the cross to pay the just penalty for your sin and my sin too. He alone resurrected from the grave and left an empty tomb. He alone is the hope that is greater than any fear, trial, or challenge that you will face in this life. And if you want to pray a prayer of commitment, you can do that with me by just repeating after me. You can say out loud, wherever you are, Father, save me from my sin. Forgive me because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Make me new from the inside out. Give me a new heart that wants to know you, to learn your scriptures, the Bible, and to have them be my guide in life all the days of my life. Jesus, thank you for dying and resurrecting for me so that as I now believe in you, I can put my full hope in life and in death in you. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me joy unspeakable as I live in the light of your resurrection, both now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you just prayed that, I want to be the first to welcome you into the family of God. And I know there are people clapping all over the city and even all around the country and all around the world who are applauding God's work in your life. If that's you, your next step is to email us at decision@cachurch.com so that we can celebrate with you and help you in growing in your new relationship with Jesus. But let's continue on and let God be at work among us. For others of you, maybe you're an investigator. Maybe you're thinking, well, Tom, listen, I've heard the good news of the resurrection. Maybe this is the first time you've heard it. Maybe you've heard it before. But I want to investigate your thinking. Why have so many come to conclude that the resurrection isn't just good news, it's true news? Now, here's your step. Here's your challenge this Easter. Will you just pray a simple prayer with me? Now, if God isn't real, you're going to waste 10 seconds of breath. But if God is real, may He hear and answer your prayer. And here's the prayer you can pray with me. God, if you are real, will you help me come to know you as I investigate you? Now, if you just prayed that prayer, your follow-up action step is to email us at decision@cachurch.com, letting us know you want to investigate. And like I said earlier, we will send you a copy of J. Warner Wallace's book, the award-winning cold case homicide detective who came to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ after investigating all the evidence for Jesus's resurrection. The third and final group is those of you who are resurrection people. For others of us, this Easter, let me invite us to make Easter not just a once-a-year holiday, but an everyday reality. And if that's you, you're already a follower of Jesus, but you want to be an Easter everyday person, a resurrection, living in the light of the resurrection every day, just pray with me now. Father, help me to live every day in the light of your resurrection. To be an Easter person, not just a holiday I celebrate, but my identity. Help me to see all things and to live all my days in the light of the power and hope and peace of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, next week, I want to invite you to join us as we start a brand new series on a part of the Bible called 1 Peter that's going to teach us even more deeply how to live in every area of our life in the light of the hope and the power and the peace of the resurrection of Jesus. And once again, I want to say happy Easter, everyone, and thank you for celebrating the resurrection of Jesus with us. And may it be a celebration not only this day in your life, but every day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Yeah, yeah. Sing Savior. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light. Shine your light and let the whole world. The glory of the risen King, Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Oh, He is the King, Savior.
Oh, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save forever.
one last time, he is risen indeed. If you made any kind of decision today, especially to follow Jesus, we would love to contact you and help you. And instructions are there on the screen. And may you be strengthened and blessed as you leave with this benediction. May the resurrected Savior and His power be your source, your strength, and your security this week, I pray. In Jesus' resurrected name, amen. God bless you.